please turn with me to two scriptures. First of all, Colossians chapter 1, but also Matthew chapter 12. You don't need to turn to Colossians if you don't want to, but make sure you go to Matthew 12. I just wanted to go through a few very important scriptures here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 to 13, it says, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. And then it goes on to say, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, what we were saying this morning concerning demonology, demons, Christians, sinners, all of this, this scripture is very vital as to what happens in salvation. And note with me, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. With Mary Magdalene, we actually seen this morning how that first the demons had to be cast out before she could come into a relationship with God. Nobody can come into a relationship with God if the demons are still in there. There are no demon-possessed Christians. Now look at this, Colossians 1 verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Now what is the power of darkness? That is the power of the devil. That is the power of Satan himself. And if you get delivered from that power, you are free. If you're under the power of Satan, then you get delivered from it, set free. You are free from that. Now the whole teaching of the Bible is that we are all born as the children of the devil. We were all born. We are all under his dominion. That the spirit of Satan influences all of us who are born into this world. None of you were born free from that. You're all a child of the devil. I don't care how innocent your baby is, how innocent your child is. The Bible says we're born sinners. We're born with a sinful nature. Until you get born again, you're a victim of the devil. But look at this scripture. It says that Christ has delivered us from the power of darkness. That has to happen first. You don't get born again until you're delivered from the power of darkness. You can't have Christ live in you until you're delivered from the power of Satan. You can't be bound by Satan and yet be a member of Jesus Christ. You can't be under the power of the devil and under the power of the Holy Spirit at the same time. It cannot happen. And yet in today's church, many of the main big ministries, in fact most of them, they'll say Christians can have demons, that the devil can live in you as well as God, and that Christians need deliverance. I say it's a lie, it's not biblical, I'm just about to prove it to you a little bit further. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? That happens. Then notice the next part. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Before you're translated into God's kingdom, you need delivered from the power of darkness. Until you're delivered from the power of Satan, you cannot be translated over into kingdom Satan, into the kingdom of God. First you need delivered from the power of Satan, then you can change places. Our destinations. Now notice this word translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you're being translated. The word translated is very, very important. It actually means for you to change your citizenship. So what is it? You're delivered from Satan, then you're translated. Translation means you're changing countries. And he has changed country. You change your country. You change your citizenship. You change the kingdom you're a part of. And you change the person you're submitted to. So the Bible's very clear. You get delivered from Satan. If you're a Christian, you have been delivered from Satan and brought over, translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's a change of citizenship. or of dominions, or it means change in your country, or change in the power that you submit to, or that you recognize to. So these two things, you're delivered first, then you're translated. Until you're delivered, you cannot be translated. Until you're delivered from Satan's power, you cannot become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, have you got that? So this deliverance is to be rescued. Imagine saying, I'm a Christian, but I'm still not rescued from Satan. I still belong to him. I'm still in his kingdom. I'm still under his power. What sort of Christianity would that be? That I say, yes, I'm saved, but I'm under Satan's power. That's no deliverance. Imagine living in a new kingdom, in a new citizenship, in a new dominion, under a new king, but we say the old king still has power over us. So I'm a victim of him. He rules my life. He ruins my life. I'm in a new country and I'm a Christian, but really Satan's ruling my life. That cannot be. You get delivered, then you're translated into a new kingdom. Now read Matthew chapter 12, and this is so important for us to see. I don't want us just to hear this. I want us to learn it. I want us to understand it. I want to convince you that Christians cannot have demons. I'll do it with Jesus' word from Matthew 12. I'll prove to you biblically no Christian can have a demon dwelling in them. Why do I make much of this when we don't believe that here? Because I tell you, there's many out there do believe it. It comes through Christian media, Christian articles, sermons and all the rest. That's why I've got to deal with it. Read in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 22. Then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with a devil. He was blind and dumb. You see that? So here's one possessed of the devil. What was the effect? He was blind and he was dumb. And Jesus healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? They're saying he's the Messiah. But when the Pharisees heard it, the religious people who don't love Jesus, when they see it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then his kingdom shall stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Okay, Jesus is about to give a parable, and this is what I want you to catch. What's happening? He's casting out demons. Here's a demon-possessed child. The parable he gives is in the context of an individual who is possessed of the devil. Jesus cast the demon out, and they began to speak, to hear. They're free. They're delivered. When the demon went out, they physically become healed. Do you realize behind some physical illness is a demon? You can't just pray for them to be healed. You'd have to cast the demon out before they get healed. So the devil can be connected to certain illnesses. But don't think every illness is a demon. It's not. Jesus healed people as well without casting a demon out. But here he is in the context. He delivers this person. All the religious start saying, ah, you're a devil. Jesus, you're not the Messiah. You're actually the prince of devils. You're the ruler of the demons. And that's why you can get this man free and we can't. We've tried everything. We can't get him free. You've set him free because you're the prince. You're the Beelzebub, the prince or the Lord of flies. You're the prince of demons. You've cast them out. You're playing games with us. And now you're trying to show us that you're the Messiah. Well, we don't believe it. You're a devil. That's what they're saying. Jesus gives them a parable here. And it's very important. The church of our generation doesn't know this. Listen carefully. What we dealt with this morning. Verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Notice that. except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He's given a parable. What is the parable about? He has just cast a demon out of a man. This man who we spoke about, he was blind, he was dumb, he had a demon cast out of him, and now he can see, now he can speak, and he's perfectly whole. Jesus gives a parable. He's just cast a demon out. Now he's explaining it. How can a man enter into a strong man's house unless he first bind the strong man, cast him out, then he can enter into the house? The house is talking about a person. The strong man is a demon. And that strong man means a mighty one, a powerful one, a forcible one. It's talking about a demon. The strong man is a demon living within a person's life and affecting their life and destroying their life. Jesus said this strong man is living in a person. The house is their body. The strong man is a demon. Okay, Christ has explained this. And he says, how will I enter into that house? Who's living in that house at the minute? It's the demon. It's the strong man. But how am I going to enter into that house? How am I going to live in this house? How am I going to move in as the new ownership? Saints, I'm telling you what it says in Colossians. First you need delivered, then you translate over into the kingdom of God. In order to change your citizenship, you've got to be delivered. Nobody has come into the kingdom of God who wasn't delivered. This is the teaching of the Bible. The basic teaching. Jesus said, first you've got to bind the strong man, then I can enter into the house. So we're told he cast out the demon, or he bound the strong man. Now why does he do this? Why does he bind the strong man? Why does he cast the demon out? Because he wants that house. He wants to possess that house. He wants to spoil the goods of this strong man. It's a very clear scripture. Here is one demon indwelling one person. Christ first binds the demon, casts him out, which means to expel him, to drive him out, to get rid of him. Only then can he seize the property. You can't take the property. There are squatter rights, okay? In this city, as certain people move, if you have a property and you haven't lived there in 6 months, and they know you haven't, they can move in, live there for 6 months. Now they've got squatter's rights. Hey, we've got regulations. You can't put us out, but it's my property. Yeah, but we've got rights. You're going to have to force us out by the law, the courts, whatever. We have squatter's rights. Well, the devil does the same. He'll say, I've got rights to stay here. I've got rights to stay here. The devil will reject him, will drive him out. The strong man in Christ, listen this carefully, cannot possess the same house. They don't live in the same house. They can't seize the same house. They don't dwell together in the same house. It is one or the other. Either the strong man lives there or Christ lives there. Either a demon is in that person or Christ is living in that person. The demon has to leave in order for Christ to come in. But I can assure you, Christ never comes in while the demon's still there. So Jesus said, first the demon needs to go, then I will come in. That means a real Christian has no demon in them. They might fail, they can backslide, they can grieve the Holy Spirit, they can be tempted, they can go through chaos of mind, they can go through trials, but they cannot have a demon in them if they are a Christian. They can be tempted. You can be tempted. That doesn't mean there's a demon in you. You may have terrible thoughts in your mind. You may be tormented in your mind. That is not a demon in your mind or in your heart. Since this is the basic, simple teaching of Jesus Christ. We read this again in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus comes in and attacks the strong man. He overcomes him. He subdues him. He conquers him. He takes away his armor that he trusted in. And now it enables Christ to rule in that house. You cannot be demon-possessed as a Christian. You cannot be demonized as a Christian. You cannot have a demon living in you as a Christian. You want to know why I emphasize this? Because it's taught all across the church, and most of the mega ministries teach us. Why do they not teach what Jesus teaches? It's clear. Jesus is very clear. Paul adds to it. Peter and others add to it. But let me give you another scripture. You've got to know this. You've got to be able to stand on this. You've got to be able to share this with others. You've got to be clear on this. Read again Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43, and this is Jesus continuing to speak here. And notice the same sort of line or story or symbols. Verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and he findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it. Notice, he's come to the house. It's an unclean spirit has gone out of a man. It has left the house. Do you see that? So here it's saying that there's this unclean spirit, this unclean demon has gone out of a man. What does that demon do when he's cast out? He's been cast out. He's been expelled. It says he wanders through dry places looking for a place. That means the devil is looking for places to live. Do you hear me? The devil will come knocking at your door. He does want to affect your life. There is a real devil. Demons are real. You better get used to that, because we're going to have a great deluge of demonic activity. And you better know the word of God. You better know that Christ is in you, because this is the most demonized hour in all of church history. Now look, it says, he goeth through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Verse 44, so what does he do? I will return into my house. What is the house? It's a person. He used to live in a person. He's been cast out. And he says, you know, I used to have good times there. I can't find anyone else. I'm going back just to check. Maybe I can get in again. He says, I will return into my house. Do you know, if you ever got delivered from the enemy, from drugs, from drink, prostitution, or whatever, you better be careful, that demon will come back. And you better make sure that that house isn't the same as when he left. Because believe me, when Jesus meets with you, he totally sets you free. He delivers you. You're free. But I tell you, that demon's going to say, I'll go back. I'll just try. That's why you get freedom for a time. Then he comes back. He's just trying you. And let me show you what he's trying. He comes back to your life. And this is what he's looking for. Now follow with me. It says verse 44, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, when he comes back to that person, how does he find it? Notice, empty. That's the first thing. What does empty mean? Vacant. Nobody's living there. Are you following me? This man has been delivered. How? I'm not sure. Maybe one of the apostles. Maybe, I don't know. This man has been delivered from a demon. So then the demon comes back to me, finds him empty. Nobody else has moved in yet. Nobody is actually living there. Then notice secondly, sweat. Oh look, it wasn't like this when I left. It's all beautifully cleaned up. Doesn't it look beautiful? So it's empty, no one's living there. It's been cleaned out. Wow. Do you realize someone can have an experience around churches and they clean their life out and you come and look at them and go, wow, aren't they clean? They're so different. But is anybody living in there? Hello? Anyone home? Is Jesus in there? Not enough that you've cleaned yourself up. not enough that you've came out of the world. Is Jesus in there? So the demon comes back, oh wow, I've never seen the place so clean and garnished. So it's empty, it's swept, and it's garnished. The word garnished means set in order, decorated. They went and put wallpaper up. They got a few couches in. They set some flowers up on the table. It's beautiful. And the demon comes back and goes, well, they've cleaned themselves up. They look very nice. They've put everything back on order. But you know what? There's nobody living here. If someone had been living there, remember what Jesus said. He says, I bind the strong man, cast him out, that I might come in and live there. So what about the second person? The first person, Jesus, was living there. This one, what happens? The demon comes back. It's empty. Jesus is not in there. They've got delivered. They've got changed by the influence of the gospel. But actually, Jesus isn't in there. It's empty. It looks beautiful. They look so clean, so moral, so free. But Jesus is not living in them. Then verse 45. Then goeth he. So he doesn't move in immediately. Then goeth he, the demon, and he taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and they dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Eight demons have now moved in. How could they move in? Nobody's living in there. It was cleaned up. It was refurnished, but nobody's living there. Jesus has not been allowed to live. The previous incident, Jesus has given these two examples. The first one, the strong man, I've got to bind him. I've got to get him out of there in order for me to move in. Then when I'm in there, when Jesus is in there, no demon can move in. You're free. Yes, you might fail, but you're free from Satan. He can tempt you. He can lead you astray. He can lie to you. He can deceive you in certain areas. But I want to assure you, you've been set free from the devil. Saints, we need to have this absolutely settled. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter speaks about pigs and dogs. Who's he speaking about? Is he speaking about animals coming to church? No. He's speaking about people. He actually gives two examples, pigs and dogs. And he says the dog vomits up what was making him sick. That dog's choking. Ever seen a dog choke and get on? And it's eating something and it actually vomits it up. Now the dog's okay.
And he eats it again.
He eats it again. And that's what the Bible says. It says that dog, stupid dog, that's what made you sick. That's what was bad in you. You vomited out. You're free of it. You're free. What do? You go back and you eat the same thing and you're sick again. What about the pig? It says you get a pig, you wash it, you even put a ribbon in around its neck. It's beautiful. It smells so beautiful. It looks beautiful. I tell you, we can move the pig into the house to live with us as people now. It's a beautiful, clean, nice pig. You turn your back, or you take it out for a little walk around the garden. What does it do? It heads for the muck pile. And what does it do? It starts covering itself. Now what's Peter talking about? He's actually talking about people who come into the church. And he says you can be a dog that vomit up your stuff, but you go right back to it. And you can be a pig that can be nicely washed, and you go right back to it. What's he saying? He says these are types of people in the church. The pig is a type of person. The dog is a type of a person in the church. Who are they? They're people who come in and say, wow, I believe. I believe in you. I believe this is real. And they get it all washed up. They get clean. Do you know what they do? They go straight back to it. Do you know why? It's the nature of a pig to dirty itself. To roll in that muck. It's its nature. It's not a one-off. It's not a temptation. It's its nature. What about the dog? It's within the character of a dog to eat what it's just vomited. It's made it sick. It vomits it. It eats it. I ain't going to do that, I can assure you. Peter is actually saying these are people who have been cleaned up. outwardly, they've been refurnished, they look very clean cut, they seem to come out of the world, but Jesus is not living in their life. They've never allowed Jesus to become their life and to live his life in them. This house was temporarily free of its demons, but when the demons go back, he says, I'm taking seven others and it'll be worse. It'll be worse. Can a genuine believer fail? Yes. Could they backslide? Yes. Could they fall flat in their face? Yes. But I want to assure you, someone who goes back in that world and lives in that world and will not come out of that world and continues in that world and continues in sin, and I've got to say, they were never saved. Hey, the pig wasn't saved. The pig got washed. That empty house didn't get saved. It just got cleaned up. It was the influence of the gospel, but it didn't have Christ inwardly. There are people along this way in this city who will get impacted by the gospel. They'll be set free from heroin. Someone can come in here and be set free from heroin. And you know what? They can look beautiful, but they've never met Jesus Christ. It is the influence of the gospel sets them free. And you know how I'll know? Because they'll end up worse than they ever were before. It's not failure. Hey, we all in here struggle with sin. Anyone not failed? Anyone not failed? Brother? You know? It's a real thing. But I tell you, going out and living, if you still live like you did as a sinner, you're not saved. And you weren't saved. And no one lives within you. That demon come back, and when this place is empty, and I'll make it worse than it was before, you better make sure that Christ lives in you. You better make sure he is real and he is alive. And from this scripture, I tell you, saints, it is so basic, so elementary. Christians cannot have demons. Neither can a demon have a Christian. You either belong to Christ or you belong to the devil. Either a demon will indwell you or Christ will indwell you. But there's no mixture. And I want to warn you again of all the teachings. I got affected. I got impacted by it 25 years ago. Near destroyed me. Inner healing, deliverance, Christian counseling, Christian psychology. It's from the pit of hell. It's lies. It's devilish. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet it gets preached by the biggest names. Do you know why? Do you know why all the big names, all the big churches, all the big ministries, do you know why they preach it? Because their churches are filled with tares. And people in ministry and some of the preachers never got born again. They're not Christians. So we blame demons. Well, I've got an anger problem. Well, I've got this problem. I've got that problem. Well, I just keep getting drunk. I keep committing adultery. I keep committing fornication. Well, you know, we're all sinners, aren't we? After all, hey, who's perfect? So I'll keep getting drunk every week and I'll keep go sleeping with my girlfriend every week. But I love Jesus. I believe the Bible and Jesus is in my heart. No, he's not. No, he's not. Because Jesus is very clear. If you go out and live like that, and if your life is a mess, and you're living out there, and you're living for the devil is in you. Jesus can't be in you, and you live like a devil. It is impossible. You cannot keep getting drunk, saints. And I'm not saying you are. But we need to be clear. And I know we know it here. I know I've preached it. But you know what? I need to say it because the church out there doesn't believe it. And the influences knocking on our doors don't believe it. And they say, you can be like this. Hey, I just have a problem. No, Jesus isn't in your heart. He cannot be. I'm a perpetual liar. Well, if you're a perpetual liar, do you know what the book of Revelation says? No liar will get into the kingdom of heaven. All liars go to hell. Oh, but I'm a Christian, but I just keep lying. You better read your Bible. You better read your Bible very closely. Saints, may that just help you. I want to give that to you to protect you. Christians can have demons. The Bible says it. Jesus taught it very clearly. And how those scriptures, you need to learn them. You need to know them. You need to study them. You need to understand them. Because you're going to have the devil. You got away from him. He's going to come knock and say, you're mine. I'm tempting you. You've failed. You've done this. You're not a Christian. You're mine. And you go, no, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Jesus lives here. This is his property. He has the rights on your back. And what the devil does, he opens up your letterbox and he shouts through. Don't get in a discussion. Slam the letterbox. Say, I'm away to bed. I'm away to have my dinner. On your back. Saints, it is real. It is real. Just make sure Christ is living there in a very real way.